of life, the sustainer of life, physical, spiritual, rain, the sun, every drop of water, every heartbeat, every breath, every step we take, all life is dependent on you. It is a privilege to know that. It is a great honor to give you thanks and to recognize you and acknowledge you as ruler of all. And what an even greater privilege beyond comprehension that we can be called sons and daughters of you, Heavenly Father. We can truly say Father to you, not because of things we've done to earn that relationship, not because of things we've said to merit that union, but because of your grace and your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, your Son, our Redeemer, our everything. Heavenly Father, thank you for this blessed relationship we enjoy constantly through Jesus Christ, and that we can be your righteousness through him. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that through Jesus we can make our requests known to you, that we can pour out our hearts to you, though you already know them. You know our thoughts from afar. You know our thoughts at night and day. Forgive us, Lord, of unclean thoughts. Please forgive us of all our sins. We're sorry for these things, Father. They're foolish. We are to blame. And we pray, please be gracious and merciful and forgive us. Through Jesus Christ, Father, we thank you for your forgiveness, and that through Jesus, with boldness and confidence, though we fail you at times, we can still make our request. And so, through Jesus, and in confidence of your grace and mercy, according to your will, we pray for our brother Lonnie. We pray that his surgery would go well. We pray that all the decisions that are made on his behalf will be wise decisions, that you'll guide the hand of those who care for him, and that you will shield him, Father, from things that might be of any further harm to him. Help him, Father, to go through this and all things go well for him and for Susan and for all of us who love him very much. Thank you, Father. Heavenly Father, we love your servants, BJ and Shirley. We're so grateful that they're here with us today. Grateful for their faith. Grateful for their trust in you. We're so grateful that they've come to be with us today, your people, and to look to you for strength and to look through your people for help and strength also. It is a privilege, Father, and a blessing to us. And we ask your richest blessings, that your gifts of grace encompass them and enfold them, that your blanket of grace, Father, would be with them. Strengthen them, Father. Father, we can only imagine how difficult this must be. And we pray for all those who have had to face difficult circumstances like this. Please be with them, Father, and help them through this difficult time. Use us in your service. Please be with all those who will be serving their needs tomorrow. We pray for safe journeys back to their homes. We pray in the weeks, months ahead, Father, as thoughts of this continue to come, that you'll continue to be with them, because we know it doesn't go away overnight. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this assembly. We thank you for the shepherds here, the deacons. Thank you for each precious soul that you have saved. To you, Lord, for all the things said and done to your honor and glory, may it always be to your honor and glory. Through Jesus, our Savior, we pray, we praise you, we honor you, we adore you. Amen. Well, I know that takes some amount of time away from our lesson, but so be it. I believe it takes a precedent. Things like this take a precedent. And toward the end of my lesson, I'd like to have another prayer on behalf of our brother and sister. And Brother Doug, would you lead us in that prayer at that time? Thank you for that. Right now, would you please turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 6. Thank you. The Gospel of John, chapter 6, will begin verse 58, please. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread shall live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, "This is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it?" But Jesus, conscious that his disciples grumbled at this, said to them, "Does this cause you to stumble?" Verse 63, he said, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life." There are many people that followed Jesus during this particular time, multitudes. Jesus had fed 5,000 men the previous day, and the Greek word is an adult male. And so if you consider the wives, the women, the children, you're looking at possibly 10,000 people or more. Multitudes following Jesus, but unfortunately, many of them are following Jesus for the wrong reasons. And Jesus, of course, knows that. He knows their heart. The Lord is not just interested in numbers. He's not just interested in crowds. He's very interested in good, honest hearts that completely trust Him, that completely give their heart, soul, mind, strength, and body to Him. He's interested in that. And of course, that's what He's seeking from these individuals, just as He's seeking that from you and I. Hearts that completely trust Him. And on this occasion, to deliberately thin out the crowds and separate the sincere from the self-serving, the Lord teaches a lesson using highly symbolic language about Himself and how He is the true bread. He is the true drink. And unless you eat of Him and unless you drink of Him, you will not enter the kingdom and you will not have eternal life. It's absolutely brilliant the way the Holy Spirit sets this whole occasion up. Of course, He is God. We expect no less. But I constantly marvel at how lessons are given and the timing of those lessons and the choice of the words that fit the occasion perfectly. If you look back in the chapter, in John chapter 6, it was the Passover time, verse 4, Feast of the Jews. And so their mind is on that Passover, the Passover Lamb, the Lamb of God. And of course, what is Jesus but the Lamb of God? They're thinking about the food they will be eating, what they will be drinking on the table at the Passover. And on this occasion, with these great crowds of people surrounding Jesus, He sees that they're hungry. He has compassion for them. But more importantly, as Brother Cody pointed out on Wednesday evening, the purpose this miracle will be worked is not just to feed them, it's not just to provide physical food, but to show them a greater purpose, who He is and why He's there and what He can provide for them if they will only eat of Him and drink of Him. He feeds the 5,000, and as I mentioned in verse 10, the word men there is adult male. It's many more than 5,000. Verse 11, He took the loaves, and having given thanks, He distributed those who were seated, likewise of the fish. Two fish, five barley loaves. Thousands and thousands of people were fed.
Think of the amazing miracle. It's during this earthly ministry part, only one of only two miracles recorded in all four Gospels. The feeding of the thousands. In verse 14, we read, when therefore the people saw the sign which he had performed, they said, "This is of a truth the prophet who's come into the world." Well, their conclusion is correct about what Moses had prophesied in Deuteronomy 18. God will raise up for you a prophet like me. You must give heed to everything he says. They're correct about that conclusion. They are not correct. They're not right in making application of that prophet and what he had to say. They're not imbibing his words. They're not ingesting his teaching. They're ingesting fish and bread. And they're impressed with that. It's sensational what we're seeing here. Jesus is saying, you've got to look beyond the food to the real food. I'm the real food. My words are life. My teaching is drink. Drink of me, eat of me, he's saying. And you will have life. Real life. In verse 26 of chapter 6, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Don't work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man shall give to you. For on him the Father, even God, has set his seal." And so Jesus rebukes the people for not taking to heart the real purpose of the miracle. And from this occasion, Jesus launched one of the most magnificent sermons in all the Gospel of John. It's one of the I Am messages of John. I am the door. I am the shepherd, John 10. I am the living water, John 4. And here, Jesus will say, I am the bread that came down out of heaven. You need to eat of me and drink of me if you want eternal life. Verse 35 is where he says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger. Now that explains the idea of eating of him. Coming to him. This is not about the Lord's Supper. Though the passage could be used to talk about Jesus' death and sacrifice. This is not about the Lord's Supper. This is about Jesus and receiving his words and ingesting his teaching. If you come to him, that's eating of him. And if you believe in Jesus, that's drinking of Jesus. Believe in him. Come to him. That is eating and drinking of Jesus. Well, verse 63. It's the Spirit who gives life. This is the same thing as Jesus said to Nicodemus. You must be born of water and the Spirit in order to enter the kingdom. Physical seed, physical result. Spiritual seed, spiritual result. John 3, verse 6. So having said this, verse 64, Jesus said, there are some of you who don't believe. Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who it was that would betray him. And he was saying, for this reason I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted him from the Father. As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew. They were not walking with him anymore. Now their departure prompted Jesus then to turn to his disciples in verse 67 and say to the 12, do you also want to go away? To which Peter then answered in verse 68, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we have come to believe that you are the Holy One of God. Peter's question here, Jesus' question here, provides the basis of really the text for the lesson this morning. It's two of the great, they're two of the great questions asked in the Bible. Will you also go away? Jesus asked. And then Peter's question, to whom shall we go? What if Jesus had asked that question of you? Well, through His Word, He's asking that question of you this morning. When you read the Word of God and you sometimes read things or you hear things from the Word of God and you think, maybe like some of these Jews, that's a difficult statement. Who can accept that? Because it doesn't fit into your spiritual program, whatever that may be, your own ideas. Jesus asked these Jews on this occasion in verse 61, conscious his disciples grumbled, said, does this cause you to stumble? Have you ever read something from the Word of God, or you heard something, and you just really not only didn't understand it, but it was causing doubt? The word stumble here is the Greek word scandal. Imagine that. Jesus' teaching was scandalous to them. This is a scandal, they're thinking. Why? Because it didn't fit their own ideas. There's a problem, Houston, when you read the Word of God and you don't like what you're reading. Let God be true. Every man a liar. Romans 3, 4. I'm wrong. I need to figure out what God's Word is saying, and I need to conform myself to God's Word. I'm wrong 100% of the time. And I need to listen, and I need to be ready to do what God says and search it out even further. Well, through the Word of God, today as well as then, this timeless Word, He's asking you, will you also go away? And to what will you go? Have you considered the alternative? What out there is better than Jesus? To whom will you go? Who out there is better than Jesus? Who can give you what you really need? Have we considered the alternatives? Have you also considered that if you're not with Jesus right now, whatever you're with, your life is saying, I choose this rather than Jesus. Is it really better than Jesus? Think about that. To whom will you go? Many of the people here did turn away. They followed the multitudes. I suppose their thinking was, well, I don't want to be different. How could so many people be wrong about the kingdom and the concept of the kingdom? And about the Messiah and what He should be. How could so many people be wrong? Well, the fact of the matter is, when it comes to religion, the majority of the time, the majority's wrong. What if you had this thinking, could so many people be wrong in the days of Noah? What would have happened? How many people survived the great flood? 1 Peter 3, 8 souls. Noah, his sons, their wives, 8 souls. So if you'd have had that thinking in the days of Noah that, well, how can so many people be wrong? I don't want to be different. You would have perished in the flood. What if you had that thinking in the days of Joshua when the 10 spies returned with an evil report? Then you would have perished with every Israelite 20 years of age and older. In the wilderness during that 40-year calendar of judgment. What if you were one of these Jews and you joined the crowd turning away, joining the multitude? I don't want to be different. Well, the answer as to what happened to them if they didn't come back to Jesus is tucked away in Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 21 says, for then there will be great tribulation. Jesus speaking to the Jewish people, great tribulation, such as not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor even shall. And unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days shall be cut short. First historian Josephus tells us over 1 million Jews died in this terrible situation Jesus is describing in verse 21 and 22. Over 1 million unbelieving Jews. And so if they turned back and they went back with the multitude and were among those that ran into the city whenever Titus and the Romans surrounded the city of Jerusalem, they perished in that city. And those that may have survived during that time period were treated very cruelly and eventually sold into slavery. Yes, we're free to make our choices, but we are never free from the consequences of those choices. Unless you're in Jesus Christ and you're talking about sin, then Jesus can free you from the wages of sin. Making the decision based on the majority is not the right answer. Neither is putting your faith in family or the religious family tradition. In all probability, again, this is what many of those Jews did. They returned to the traditional family religion. It's what they knew, it's what they were comfortable with, it's what they wanted to believe. But friend, your family cannot save you. Your wife, your husband, your son, your daughter, your mom or dad, they cannot save you. They can at best encourage you to be saved. They can teach you and urge you to do what the Lord teaches and say, I want to be with you in heaven someday. Don't you want to be with us in heaven someday? They cannot save you. Only Jesus can save you. In John chapter 6, looking back at John chapter 6, verse 47, Jesus said, verse 48, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. Those fathers you look back upon and admire, they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven so that the one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. That's the only possible way you and I can be saved is through Jesus Christ. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And so regardless of what the husband's doing, the wife is doing, you save yourself. And in saving yourself, hopefully you'll save that husband or that wife or that son or that daughter. Teach them to come to Jesus. My dad was not a Christian for most of his life. Toward the end of his life, he did come to the Lord. But in spite of him, my mother was faithful to the Lord. There are times he didn't want her to go. He'd rather she stay home. That didn't matter. What did the Lord want? The Lord wants me to be there. And so that's what she did. She went. In spite of the way he would talk or he would act, she served the Lord. And eventually it led to his salvation. I was in the audience years ago when Connie Adams told the story of a lady he knew whose husband was very possessive, a control freak, if you will, and didn't like the attention and the time she was giving to the Lord and to the Lord's people in the local congregation. He was jealous of her time. You ever met somebody like that? Jealous of her time with the Lord and His people. And so, he threatened her. He said, I think you were in the audience also, Ray, when he told this story. He said, you're not going to go to church. He said, I'm going to serve the Lord. On one occasion, he went out to the car. He took the wires off the spark plugs, took the distributor cap off. She walked to the building. Another occasion, he became so irate that he pulled a gun out. And he said, you're not going to church. And she said, if you pull the trigger, I'm going to heaven. If you don't, I'm going to church. He thought about that and decided, there's got to be more to this than I'm seeing. Where does this strong faith and conviction come from? Put the gun away and said, wait a minute, I'll go with you. And over a period of time, heard the message and became a Christian. Now, she couldn't save him. She could just be a vehicle of the Lord. 1 Peter 3, and leading him to the Lord, and she was. And later, he became a Christian. Someone one time said, "My mom has enough religion for me. She won't have on that day." Every person must give an account of himself on the judgment day. Your mom and your dad, your brother, your sister, your husband, wife, they'll be on their own on that day, and you'll be on your own. You serve the Lord. Don't wait on your husband or wife to get their act together. You serve the Lord. Don't wait on depend on your parents to decide what they're going to do. You serve the Lord. If they choose to not serve the Lord, don't be lost with them. You serve the Lord. Help them be saved as a result of your faithful service. Jesus one time said, "He that loveth mother, father, son, or daughter, brother, sister, more than me, is not worthy of me." The Lord must come first in all things. And when we love Him, hopefully that influence will reach out to our family as well. We can save them. Well, there's other things I want to say, but this morning that will have to wait, Lord willing, for another occasion. Let me just conclude the lesson in this manner. And then, Doug, I'm going to ask you to lead us in a word of prayer, please. A man one time said, "I don't want to become a Christian because I'll be missing out on certain things he wanted to do." Can you imagine that? I'll be missing out on certain things I want to do. And you know what? If you become a Christian, you truly will be missing out on a number of things. Let me just share with you a few things you'll be missing out on. A life without lasting purpose and peace. A life of shame and degradation in regard to sin. A life where there is constant guilt and shame as a result of sin. You will be missing out on having God's help and comfort in times of need, like right now. A life without hope beyond the grave. You'll be missing out on fellowship with the kindest, most merciful people on earth. People like those right here. You've seen that. And finally, you'll be missing out on heaven and eternal life with Jesus. Yes, we certainly do miss out on a lot by being a Christian. Praise God. Through Jesus Christ, we do miss out on those things. To whom will you go? To what will you turn? What's better than Jesus? Whatever it is, it can't possibly measure up. Think about those things. Our brother's going to lead us in a word of prayer, and then Matt, after the prayer, would you go ahead and lead us in the invitation song, and any who would like to come to the Lord this morning, confess their faith in Jesus, or ask for prayers, and or confess their faith, be baptized, or ask for prayers of the congregation, you're welcome to do so, please, at that time or any time. Brother Doug, thank you.